HarperCollins presents The Enemy by Desmond Bagley, read by Paul Tyerman. We have met the enemy, and he is ours. Oliver Hazard Perry. Heroic American Commodore. We have met the enemy, and he is us. Walt Kelly. Subversive, sociological. Cartoonist. 1. I met Penelope Ashton at a party thrown by Tom Packer. That may be a bit misleading, because it wasn't the kind of party that gets thrown very far. No spiked punch or pot, and no wife-swapping or indiscriminate necking in the bedrooms at 2 in the morning. Just a few people who got together over a civilised dinner, with a fair amount of laughter and a hell of a lot of talk. But it did tend to go on, and what with Tom's liberal hand with his after-dinner scotches, I didn't feel up to driving, so when I left, I took a taxi. Penny Ashton came with Dinah and Mike Hooksom. Dinah was Tom's sister. I still haven't worked out whether I was invited as a make-weight for the odd girl, or whether she was brought to counterbalance me. At any rate, when we sat at table, the sexes were even, and I was sitting next to her. She was a tall, dark woman, quiet and composed in manner, and not very forthcoming. She was no raving beauty, but few women are. Helen of Troy may have launched 1,000 ships, but no one was going to push the boat out for Penny Ashton, at least not at first sight. Not that she was ugly or anything like that. She had a reasonably good figure and a reasonably good face, and she dressed well. I think the word to describe her would be average. I put her age at about 27, and I wasn't far out. She was 28. As was usual with Tom's friends, the talk ranged far and wide. Tom was a rising star in the upper reaches of the medical establishment, and he was eclectic in his choice of dining companions, and so the talk was good. Penny joined in, but she tended to listen rather than talk, and her interjections were infrequent. Gradually, I became aware that when she did speak, her comments were acute, and there was a sardonic cast to her eye when she was listening to something she didn't agree with. I found her spikiness of mind very agreeable. After dinner, the talk went on in the living room over coffee and brandy. I opted for scotch, because brandy doesn't agree with me, a circumstance Tom knew very well, because he poured one of his measures big enough to paralyse an elephant, and left the jug of iced water convenient to my elbow. As is common on these occasions, while the dining table conversation is general and involves everybody, after dinner the party tended to split into small groups, each pursuing their congenial arguments and riding their hobby horses hard and on a loose rein. To my mild surprise, I found myself opting for a group of 2, myself and Penny Ashton. I suppose there were 12 of us there, but I settled in a corner and monopolised Penny Ashton, or did she monopolise me? It could have been 6 of 1 and 6 of the other. It usually is in cases like that. I forget what we talked about at first, but gradually our conversation became more personal. I discovered she was a research biologist, specialising in genetics, and that she worked with Professor Lumsden at University College London. Genetics is the hottest and most controversial subject in science today, and Lumsden was in the forefront of the battle. Anyone working with him would have to be very bright indeed, and I was suitably impressed. There was a lot more to Penny Ashton than met the casual eye. Sometime during the evening, she asked, "And what do you do?" "Oh, I'm someone in the city," I said lightly. She got that sardonic look in her eye and said reprovingly, "Satire doesn't become you." "It's true," I protested. "Someone's got to make the wheels of commerce turn." She didn't pursue the subject. Inevitably, someone checked his watch and discovered with horror the lateness of the hour, and the party began to break up. Usually, the more congenial the party, the later the hour.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?